we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
Reading a couple of translations. Philippians 2:3. Amen. King James. Give me Amplified Classic. Likely the Amplified you have. Amen. Amplified Classic is the old one. I'm guessing it's the one you have. My confidence is in the covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. This should be part 3A. Hallelujah. And up today we'll be talking on developing confidence in the covenant. Amen. Developing confidence in the covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. Our Philippians 2:3. Philippians 3:3. Read KJV. I'll read the translations that you may not have there. Okay. Can we read it together? Once you go, it says, for we are the circumcision. Oh, hold on. I can't hear you. Can we read it together? Can we participate? Are you ready? One, two, go. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Glory to God. That's the shouting scripture right there. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, Amplified. Can we read it together? We have Amplified here. One, two, go. Are the true circumcision, who worship God in spirit, by the Spirit of God, and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ. And we put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh, and on outward privileges and physical advantages and external appearances. I think this concludes this for me. I shouldn't read another translation. Hallelujah. He says we have no confidence in the flesh. He says, we put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh, and on outward privileges and physical advantages and external appearances. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's amazing. The things he lists out here are the things that natural human beings put their strength in, put their confidence in. Are you with me? Have you related with people who are so braggadocious, who are so full of themselves because of the shape of their bodies? That's for ladies now. Hallelujah. They are so confident they are going to marry the right man because they are figure eight. Amen. They are so confident they're going to get the best job because they had a first class or a 2-1. Are you with me? They are so confident that the contract will pull through because their uncle is a senator in charge of the committee. Are you with me? They are so confident. The list goes on and on and on. He talks about external appearances. He talks about external privileges, physical appearances, who we are in the flesh. And he's saying our confidence is not supposed to be in these things. It's remarkable. We are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence. That rejoice there, a translation puts it, he said, we boast. Actually, that's what it means. We boast in Christ Jesus. We boast. We pride in what Christ Jesus has done. I believe that's typity. He says, we pride ourselves in what Jesus has done, and we have no confidence. We have no confidence. We have no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence is not in outward appearances. It's not in physical appearances. It's not in external advantages and privileges. Those things are important, but they are instruments of worship. Our eyes are on what Jesus has done. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Our confidence is in the covenant. Thank you, Lord. Now, we began our discussion by giving certain background. The first thing we said, was this, that the idea of covenant should not make you think that you're in agreement with God. How many of you remember that? And this is not to say that you have an agreement with God, because for most people, when you talk about covenant, they are thinking about God going into agreement with them, God keeping his part, and them or they keeping their own part. That is not the idea of our discourse concerning covenant. I've told you that when you think about covenant in this context, in the real context, think about God's attempt, God's move to find a legal way to reroute man back into the commonwealth of Zion. Are you with me? He had a vision, he had a plan before man fell in the Garden of Eden. And just at the fall, he made provision for man's restoration. And what you call covenant are the things that happen physically that shows us God's commitment to man's restoration, God's commitment to man's redemption. Have it together. So I simply told you that what we call covenant is simply what Jesus did in his coming, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. We saw that in Galatians 3 verse 17. You can put that up, where he talks about the covenant which was made concerning Christ. Concerning Christ. That's the expression I wanted to see. He tells us that, look, the Abrahamic covenant was concerning Christ. And if you've not been around, get the other four parts we have taught, four or six parts that we've taught, to bless you. We explained the concept of the Abrahamic covenant, how that the Abrahamic covenant is different from the old covenant. What we call the old covenant was what God gave them through the law of Moses on Mount Sinai. Have it together. In fact, it was God's response to their boasting in the flesh. They said, whatever God tells us to do, we'll do. See, God said, really? Let's change the parole. Amen. And then he brought the law. In fact, when the law came from the mountain, people died. 3,000 people died. Glory to God. When people saw Moses, they ran away. When Jesus, the perfect picture of grace, descended from the mountain of transfiguration, the Bible says the multitudes came to him. And when the covenant came in full manifestations in Acts 2, when the Holy Ghost came and the church was born, 3,000 souls were saved. Are you with me? So the Abrahamic covenant is not the same as the old covenant. Give me the Galatians 3. Galatians 3 quickly. I believe it's 17 we read. He's talking about, I say then that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the word in there could be translated concerning Christ. That's just what I wanted to show you. That the covenant is concerning Christ. When we say the new covenant, we're talking about Christ and all he did for us. That is the new covenant. He says the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that he should make the promise of non-effect. So God gave the covenant to Abraham, the inheritance to Abraham by promise, confirmed by an oath. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I'm tempted to go there, but I resist the temptation. I won't go back to Genesis 15 again. But God gave Abraham a promise. Abraham wasn't sure, and God wanted to make him doubly sure. He confirmed it by an oath. This is what Hebrews 6, 13 to 17, 13 to 19 talks about. That men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. He says, God willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. For by these two immutable things in which is impossible for God to lie. What are the two immutable things? His word of promise and the oath that he swore. Meaning God's word is enough. That God spoke is enough. God is one with his word. When he speaks, he brings it to pass. But he said, to assure your heart, oh glory to God. He says he wanted to show to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel. That he's committed to this thing. He confirmed it by an oath. It is the word of promise, and that oath of promise we call the covenant. Are you with me? And it is our life. I told you last week, make a decision to be schooled in the new covenant. Make a decision. Be schooled. Are you with me? Be schooled in the new covenant. Be schooled. Sit down and learn it. Hallelujah. And this is what we're getting into today extensively. There's a part I didn't wrap up last week. I know we spoke about the forgiveness of sin. We said the four things that this covenant brought us. Number one, the forgiveness of sin. Ephesians. And we spoke about that extensively rather. How that God handled the sin problem from the roots. And he handled it two ways. Number one, the inner working principle of sin. And number two, the outward acts of sin. The sacrifice of Jesus dealt with the two. And believers must understand this. If the narrative of the answer to sin you have is human effort, Satan will whip you again and again and again. Are you with me? And I pulled out the scripture from Romans 6 for you. When you go home, you can read it. When Paul's message was criticized, and that shows you that Paul was a great preacher. Amen. You see, if he was a lawman, don't do this. Why are you doing this? And don't criticize his message. Amen. Those who didn't hear him well thought he was pro-sin. Amen. So they asked, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I mean, they didn't understand his teaching of grace. So he responded. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. And the response he gave addressed sin from the root. He didn't address sin as outward act. No, primarily. Amen. Verse 2. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? That shows you that Paul's approach to handling the sin problem. Of course, which was the revelation of the Spirit concerning God's approach was dealing with the principle of sin within. He said, how shall we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? It is a no. I'm not telling you to live in sin. Please stop fornicating. Stop stealing. Stop lying. No. He handled it from the root. He shows us how God approached it. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? And then you keep reading further. I say, when he died, we died with him. We were buried with him. Then we were raised together with him. He said, reckon ye yourself also to be dead to sin. I'm alive unto God. Then you go further to verse 12. You begin to talk about our members, the acts. The acts. Do you understand? He says, now sin is a choice. But choose not to yield your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. Are you with me? So the primary root was that, listen, human effort is useless as far as the inner workings of the principle of sin is concerned. But Jesus, through his sacrifice, dealt with that root of sin and also dealt with the actions of sin. Are you with me? So he's both our sacrificial goat and our scapegoat. You remember Exodus 6? Exodus 16. So Leviticus 16. He's both. What was the practice? The high priest was told, you will have two goats. One will be the sacrificial goat for the sin of the people. And then another will be the scapegoat. The scapegoat, you will lay your hands on him and confess all the sins. May you not use that goat for suya. And confess all the sins of the whole nation. All kinds of sins upon the scapegoat. And then you will lead the goat by the hand of a worthy man into the wilderness. It is said in the Jewish culture that they get to the cliff, they tie a crimson robe on the neck of the goat. Yes. And then you let the goat down from that cliff in the wilderness. If it is believed in Jewish culture that red robe will turn to white. That's to show you that the sins, the act of sins have been dealt with. Are we together? Jesus. That was a type of Christ. That was a type of Christ. As a sacrificial goat, he dealt with the root of sin. As a scapegoat, he dealt with the actions of sin. Have it together. You see, in the realm of the spirit, there's no time. So why did Jesus have to spend 3 days and 3 nights in the womb of the earth? It was because there was a prophetic adumbration as a type that he was led into the wilderness for 3 days. Have it together. Just for God to come to intrude into our context to show us that, look, the picture I was painting in the law of Moses, in the Levitical priesthood, Jesus has come to fulfill it. Are you with me? Our sins are forgiven. I've told you it's a cornerstone of our faith. It must not be trivialized. It must not be trivialized. The power of sin is broken. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, who shall lay a charge to God's elect? It is Christ who died. Who is he that condemneth? It is God that justified. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The forgiveness of sin. That's the first thing. So let me give you the second thing very quickly. Thank you, Lord. Oh, let me read a scripture for us. Colossians 2:11, NLT. Did we read it last week? I don't think we read it. Colossians 2:11. You don't have two natures. No. No believer has two natures. They will tell you, say, oh, is this Cain or Abel which is acting in you right now? They say, bro, this one, is it Jacob or Israel? The Jacob in you is showing. Is it a Jacob or you? Maybe some of you have the privilege of never hearing those things. Amen. We grew up hearing those things. Oh boy, sin consciousness. If you pass and you see foul meeting, you felt you are sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, but thank God for the message of righteousness. Listen, sin consciousness can never empower a believer to take over. Never. Oh, never. Never. Righteousness is the diet of champions. I told you, understanding of the doctrine of righteousness is part of the skill set required for dominion on the earth. He says, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised. We read something in Philippians 2:3. We read something. He says, we had the circumcision, right? This is that circumcision. He says, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by physical procedure. Melo kappa. That means the covenant of circumcision was a prophetic adumbration of the new birth. That's what he's saying. The cutting off of the sinful nature. Look at this. But not with physical procedure. Christ performed spiritual circumcision. That is the cutting away of your sinful nature. When you came into Christ, your sinful nature was cut away. So what you have now is to renew your mind. The renewing of your mind. The more you renew your mind by the word, you renew your mind in prayers. Oh, he said, my little children, for whom I travel in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. It's not because they are sinners, but Christ is yet to be formed in them. That's why they are still lying. Are you with me? That's why they are still cheating. Are you with me? Ameko patakaya. But as we teach the word, as we renew our mind and enter into intercession and pray in the Holy Ghost, we grow on our most holy faith. We rise like an edifice, making progress. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are you still here? The second blessing is eternal life. Is eternal life. Eternal life and righteousness. What this covenant has brought for us. Because I have not entered to this message. So I hope to cap. To see I can enter in the first service. And then explode it in second service. Eternal life. In bracket righteousness. You see, it is eternal life that has given us righteousness. Are you aware of that? Galatians 3:21 says, if there had been a law that would have given life, then righteousness would have been by the law. Pause. If there had been a law that would have given life, verily righteousness would have come by the law. That means righteousness comes to a life. Hallelujah. Righteousness comes to a life. Righteousness comes to a life. It comes to eternal life. He says, this is the record. Oh, 1 John chapter 5. He says this from verse 11. He says, I write unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He began by saying, he says, if we believe the testimony of man, the testimony of God is greater. If we believe the testimony of man, the testimony of God is greater. And God bore witness to his Son. And then he went for that to say, and this is the record. This is the testimony. That God has given to us eternal life. Zoe. Oh, we have eternal life. We have eternal life. Listen, the takeover is in this message. Oh. The takeover is in this message. At outpouring, I'm going to teach you. Let me not reveal it to you. Part of my teaching now, outpouring, is that the conquest is in this message. the takeover is in this message. I'll show you. How did Paul take over Ephesus? The message. He locked 12 men up for 2 years. And then from there, Ephesus was combed. He didn't need to do much. The message. The message. The message. From there, they covered Ephesus. The Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Aya, pecultists, sorcerers, they brought their books and burnt them. They said, not only in Ephesus, but all over Asia, this Paul had preached that these things we worship are not gods. He persuaded many. The power is in this message. So you have to receive it. You have to talk it. You have to live it. This is the key to the takeover. Are you with me? This is the power for the conquest. It's in this message. He said, this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his son. He that has the son has life. That means the day you receive Jesus, you receive something. It wasn't a religion you got. You got a life. You got a life. A life that is impregnable to defeat. A life that is impregnable to sickness. Are you with me? That life is not compatible with death. Oh, don't you read what Paul says? He said, for the law of the spirit of Zoe in Christ Jesus has separated me, has made me free from the law of sin and death. You can put that eternal life on your business. You can walk it in your body. It has to be walked from within out. Are you aware that even when death came, it took death time to conquer the body? I've taught you this again and again. He took death time. There had to be a recalibration of the mind for man to die. In those days, men were getting married at 100. That means they were preparing for their wedding. That's where they wanted to settle down. 100, 200 years. They wanted to say, it's time to settle. How old are you? 200 years. Oh. Are you with me? Why? They have been cultured with eternal life. They had to walk it backward. Death had to walk over time to conquer their bodies. We are walking out life from within. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, Moses got a glimpse of it. The Bible says that 120 years. He says, and Moses was 120 years. His eyes were not dim, neither was his natural strength abated. You know, that thing means two things. Amen. One means his physical strength. The other means, if you don't understand, go to children's church. At 120, he could impregnate a woman, simply put. Do you understand? 120. God had to tell him, Moses, go and die. We had an agreement that you not see the promise. Or you go to the mountain and die. He wasn't sick. He said, go to the mountain and die. His was life on the outside. For us, it's life within. Life within. Do you understand? Life within. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So the covenant brought us eternal life. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Lay hold on eternal life. These things are in the world. Lay hold. Lay hold. Your body is feeling weak. Lay hold on eternal life. Business is happening somehow. Lay hold on eternal life. Are you with me? Satan comes to attack you. People threaten you. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold. The Greek word is epilamanomai. It means to cease for safety. It means to cease for accomplishment. Lay hold on eternal life. We are discussing confidence in the covenant. Oh, you saw the testimony of the guy who was shot and the bullets were falling. That is Zoe at work. Are you aware? For natural human life, bullet has to penetrate, but not Zoe. Amen. I told you the story of one of my mentors who was laid down by armed robbers. They say, lie down, lie, and then you are speaking in tongues. At the point, the Holy Ghost says, stand up. He stood up. They say, you are standing up, AK-47. And then he told the robber, give me that gun. The guy aimed and shot. As he shot, both he and the gun went under the power. They beat the hell out of them and handed them over to the police. You can't do that without Zoe. Are you with me? I will talk about developing confidence. You start from somewhere. You don't start by collecting guns. You start from somewhere. Amen. But you have to start. Are you with me? You start from somewhere. That means when you are feeling headache, don't rush PCM. Don't rush Manador. Use eternal life. Use eternal life. Are you with me? Start from somewhere. Hallelujah. You practice the God life. Practice the God life. Listen, the job of a preacher is not to show you your humanity. You already know. I've told you before, any preacher that is making you more conscious of your humanity, run away. Run away. You don't need somebody to tell you that you're human. The job of a preacher is to show you your divinity and to challenge you to practice divinity. Do you understand? To practice divinity. Oh, you know, we are all humans. You know, we all struggle. You know, we are in the flesh. You know, we are all humans. That's making you conscious of your flesh. But God is not the father of your flesh. God is the father of your spirit. And he's calling you from within. He's calling the life out of you. Glory to God. He's calling eternal life out. You read the writings of Paul. Do they look like trying to manage your humanity? No. No. Read the writings of John. John said, he that is born of God does not sin. Many Christians are afraid of that verse. That is calling your divinity out. We try to explain. Say, no, it's not possible. He's trying to say he shall not practice sin. You are speaking English. The word is addressed to your spirit. Oh, hallelujah. He's addressed to your spirit. The word is addressed to your spirit. When you hear it, you are alive. No, just hearing the testimonies are shared, something happened to your faith, isn't it? You said, wow, it is possible. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Eternal life. Eternal life. In righteousness. In Romans 5:17, you know the scripture. He says, for if by one man's offense death reigned, much more. Oh God. Much more. The question you ask yourself, how did death reign? What was the extent of the reign of death? How much audacity did death have in the reign of death? Death was audacious. Oh, death was audacious. He ruled over men like a hawk. He just comes and took whoever he wanted to take. But until the new covenant came. Are you with me? In fact, men in the old covenant who could peep into what God was doing dominated death in a figure. They had dominion over death. You read about Elijah in the Bible. Listen, Christianity is a supernatural walk with God. For a Christian not to believe in a miracle is strange. It's strange. What Bible are you reading? The Bible is a documentation of the miraculous. Are you with me? So that you can believe, and that believing you can have the supernatural life. Are you kidding me? This Bible, a man called Elijah, let's forget the other things he did. On a particular day, he called the servant, his PA. He said, boy, I'll be going to heaven today. No, he says, I'll be taken up to heaven today. I'll be taken up to heaven today. Brothers and sisters, there were no rockets. There were no spacecrafts. Are you with me? SpaceX did not exist. Are you with me? But a man on the earth was talking. He says, I'll be taken up to heaven today. I'll be taken up to heaven today. If I, before he opened up his, he already knew how, by the Spirit. Not just him, the sons of the prophets knew. They said, do you know that the Lord will take up your master today? Oh God. We are supernatural people. That the Lord will take up your master. He said, yes, I know, hold your peace. And then two men walking on earth. He said, I'll be taken up today. Up, do you understand? No aircraft. How will you go up? And the Bible says, as they walked, no, before they got to the valley of Moab, there was Jordan. And then when they got there, oh God. No, just think about it. And you are looking for 5 million and you're sweating. Are you with me? I just want to open your mind a little. He got to Jordan. The Jordan that Joshua parted for the children of Israel to pass, he parted it for personal convenience. Amikoba lakaya. Pash! And he parted it. And two men were walking, dry land, walking to the other. Hey! Hey! Two men! You know, when he go, oh God, can I preach a little bit? When he got there, he didn't say, oh Lord, your servant is before Jordan now. What will you have me do, Lord? What will you do? There's no boat here. No. I told you, testing the limits of the covenant. That means you can stretch with the power of God. When Moses was praying to God, what did he say? Moses, don't cry to me. Divide the Red Sea. Move forward. Stretch your hand over the sea and divide it. How? Which engineering? How? How? When we take that to MIT, how will you describe it engineering wise? Are you with me? But this is what our covenant afforded us. There are no impossibilities. We part Red Seas. We divide Jordans. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I feel like screaming and rolling and jumping here. Are you with me? Then, pash! He divided Jordan. Two men walked on dry ground to the other side. He said, well, I'll be taken up. Ask me what I shall give unto you before I'm taken. He says, sir, that a double portion of your spirit may rest upon me. He says, you have asked a hard thing. How be it, when you see me when I'm taken, what you are asking for will be yours. And boy, he saw him. The Bible says, while they walk, they appear horses and chariots of fire. And Elijah was taken up into heaven by whirlwind. Taken up into heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Hi. You know, I was talking about the dominion of death. But the Bible says much more. I mean, Romans 5. Much more. Meaning much more than the way death reigned. Much more. Much more. Pay which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. By one Jesus Christ. Shall reign in life. So we are the ones to dominate this world. Are you with me? They are looting money in politics. We are coming. That's the way you should be talking. No? Never speak with a sense of a language of helplessness. No. No. Never. Never. No. Never. With this covenant, you don't speak based on what is in your pocket. No, you don't speak based on what your background can afford you. What are you talking about? The covenant. The covenant is your background. Don't you understand? No, you don't. When the clouds be full of rain, as you prophesy based on this covenant, you keep speaking. We are taking nations. We are taking the world. This generation belongs to us. We will school them in the faith. We will make them obedient to the faith. In the name of Jesus, no land will escape this gospel. We cover the earth with the gospel. In the name of Jesus, from here, our sound has gone to the nations. Glory to God. The pleasure of the Lord prospers in our hands. Oh, you keep speaking like that. The clouds will be full of rain. or you look at your sector, your industry. Listen, you are not supposed to eat the crumbs. You are not supposed to be at the bottom of the food chain in that industry. No. But you have to speak based on the covenant. You have to talk like David. When he saw Goliath, he said, I'm going to take off your head. The Bible says there was no sword in David's hand. You know why? We don't speak based on what you have in our hands. We speak with our mind on the covenant. That blood has been shed. That power has been released through the resurrection of Jesus. Didn't you read Ephesians 1? He said, this is what he wants us to know. What is the hope of his calling? The third one. He said, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? The one he wrought in the resurrection of Jesus. Boy, that's power. Woo, glory to God. He says that power is directed towards us who believe. It's directed towards us. Hallelujah. We are not helpless. No, we are covenant people. Didn't you read about David? David was from the backside of the desert. His village was not on the map. He was from Bethlehem, a small linear settlement. But the covenant is your background. Oh, hallelujah. God tells you are going to Harvard. Don't calculate. Don't calculate. You will end up in Harvard. I'm talking to someone prophetically. You are not going there to serve. No. You are going there to take over. You are not going there to be intimidated. You know, one of the things that offends me, and it truly offends me, when I see Christians from Africa, from Nigeria, maybe they relocate to Europe, and then they become cold with their Christianity. Oh, it shows that they never understood this covenant. They were not schooled in the new covenant. They have, listen, Mero Bakaya, no civilization on the earth comes close to the light of eternal life within you. Do you understand? None. No civilization. Didn't you read in your Bible? He says, in he was Zoe, and the Zoe was the light of men. The Zoe, the life, was the civilization of men. Are we together? Listen, Zoe is light years ahead of the best of human civilization. So that you appear in London and they are dropping milk, and there is milk, there is food, and there is light, and so what? And so what? You have eternal life. Do you know what it means? That means when you develop it to its fullness, London will bow. That's what it means. Are you with me? We are not disadvantaged. We are not. Omekabaya. We are not. Christ in us. Are you with me? Christ within us. Are you with me? The Holy Ghost in us. There's nothing we can accomplish. There's no place we can go. What can we not do? Are you with me? What can we not do? What in this life should intimidate us? Are you with me? No disadvantage. And these things you are hearing should affect your confession. You stand in front of your mirror. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. And I reign. I'm reigning in the name of Jesus. The pleasure of the Lord prospers in my hand. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Are you with me? The Bible says they watched the disciples and they saw that they were unlearned men. How can you explain it? You give a global enterprise for uneducated men to prosecute. That means there's something you have to put within them. They were uneducated. But here, they were given a global enterprise. He said, take this gospel to the world, beginning from Jerusalem to Samaria to Judea and on to the utmost parts of the earth. Uneducated men, that means you put something within them. Oh, and they began to walk in the light of what was walking within. The Bible says they took note
that they had been with Jesus. Rise to your feet. Ah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, barabakosaya. Just start speaking in tongues where you are. Woo! 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 Oh, you got the message. If uneducated disciples were given a global enterprise to prosecute, you are positioned. Oh, hallelujah. Liga barako nebesoshta. In 2 minutes, just speak in tongues. I don't know what God has laid in your heart to do. What does your future look like? What is it before you that looks intimidating? Just stretch your two hands and begin to speak in tongues. Proceed of those visions in your heart. Just speak in tongues. Enaba, ebarako potosia. Shemila Gombrakton sister, Inka Petolo Balika, Jebronda Susta, Hima Gombraktoska, Jepetola Primaconda, Inka Petolo Boyo, Jepetola Prima, Manto Potosikapa, Entabala Gombraktos sister Pola, Pinta Perocopaya, Jelica Ponda Kipa. Lika promba copotosia, Shabadombra de la Costa, Ila matombra do sister, Pinta peracomba lika. Hey, 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 hey! The world is mine. In the name of Jesus, the pleasure of the Lord prospers in my hand. Pima toba, Pinda copa la baladabaya. You reign. You ancient Zion's King, cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Hey! Oh, you reign, you ancient Zion's King, cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Oh, you reign, you ancient Zion's King. I want you to blast in tongues radically. They will sing, blast in tongues, and see you walking in dominion, see you walking in victory. In kabako porobodo, shapatola primako, makoko toni gabrona, endo borama de la copa, en shalaka brando copa. You ready, you ready, you ready, you ready, you ready.
Lift your hands. Makapatola prima copotosia. Shakapronda kipatosa. Pinta peroto kipata. I see an indelible impartation resting upon people for the takeover. Liga, for some, the spirit of revelation. Your eyes are open. There's somebody here. You be praying, Lord, I want to see the Bible in the light of Christ. I want to see revelation from your word. You have prayed. The spirit of revelation is coming upon someone. The spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation. For some, is an impartation for takeover. Mekopati la kombradila. Zemelo kapa. Likopati la kopa. Just lift your hands, everyone. Ina la kombatis kapila kombradila kaya. Palakopati la kopa. Peto potoli kapa. Pelika mantosika. Malikombrapa. I'm seeing the Lord strengthening hands. Strengthening hands for the takeover. Strengthening hands for influence. Strengthening hands establishing your feet upon the mountain. Yes, 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 yes. Help him. Makopotolikapa. Shekopatila kombratila. Lekopotolikapa la tolsta. Let the spirit of impartation, let it go through the hall, the overflow. Let it go through online. Mako patile kopa. La kombra kokopa. Let the power of God rest upon you. In the name of Jesus. Let the seasons change from today. In the name of Jesus. Let your hand be strengthened. Let your feet be established upon the mountains. Let your hand be set forth upon the seas. Ikamekopotosilaka. Omekombra pila konstishte poraba. There are at least five people. The power of God is going to rest upon you. In the category I have mentioned. Does everyone lift your hands? You will whisper Jesus three times. Ilakomba tabaya. Lika, those five people. One of them is already here. Yes, that's right. Four others, in the name of Jesus, will do this in 3 minutes. Lord, wherever they are, Ilakopata, are you ready? Whisper Jesus. Jesus again. For the last time, Jesus. Maropate kepetosila nombrektoska. Mekombrektoski palaponda sister. Jesus. 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 Spirit of the living God, locate those two people. In the name of Jesus, let the hand of the Lord be heavy upon them wherever they are now. Let it be heavy. 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 Jesus. 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 Make pakopila kombra binakosa. Mento kopelika patonda pilapa. So one of them will come forward with a shout. A shout. A loud shout. Sila mekapotopa. Lika, let that sound come forth now. At the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Sharp petola bilaka. Lika petola kipa. Liko patokapa. Lempropoto, a loud shout. I can hear the shout in the spirit. It will come forth to a voice now. Lika peno pepa toli skapa. Membro teli kapa toli. Meliko. Bring the person for me. Memenoko malika monoko minako mono kemenoko poto inako monoko peniga bonoko poho malika mbredoska. 1 more minute. Ayala la 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 bo Yeshua Hamashiach. Lion of Judah. Agune chemba. The remaining two persons, in the name of Jesus, let the power of God come upon them.
HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, hey. Habune Chemba. I'm resisting the temptation to lay hands. Let the power of God rest on them. Let the power of God rest on them. Let it rest. Let it rest. Let it rest. Like great fire. Like mighty rivers. Let it burst. Let it burst. Let it burst. Mepe no kopi la kotosa. Let it burst. I don't want to lay hands. Hiyalabo kebo rabakata labakota. Elebo rabata kepatosi lakopa. Malina gobodo koposushata. Ilamero koposushata. Elibeka, Jojo, look at me. I see the anointing of God's spirit. Helper. Makepotosi lakopa. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The ushering of a new season. If I start laying hands. Thank you, Jesus. 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 There's a young lady, you've been crying for the last 1 week. I don't know what happened, but you've been crying. The hand of the Lord is resting upon you now. And that tears is wiped away. Jesus. 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 The hand of the Lord is upon you. Lift your hands, everyone. You see, there's a posture for receiving. Oh, yes, there is. Thank you, Lord. After that, Lydia, and we are done. Thank you, Lord. Lord, breathe upon that fellow heart. Breathe upon her heart. But there are two. Breathe upon them hard. You're wiping that tears away. Just cover her. You are the one who raised the dead. Oh yes, you are the one who raised the dead. Oh yes, you are the one. You are the one. You are the one. Yes, you are. HaMashiach, Lion of Judah. Agude Chemba. Yes, you are. Can we rejoice 1 minute? Lion of Judah, Agude Chemba. Yahapela Yeshua, HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agude Chemba. One more time, Yeshua, Yeshua. Can we rejoice, everybody? Yeah, Lion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this word? It may not be for everybody, but you see, if you have been hungry for dominion, this word is for you. It's a word for glory zone church. Amen. The Lord gave me the word while I was away in Benue to minister. You know, as I was ministering into the congregation and to the pastor, the Lord said, this is the word for you and for glory zone. Amen. Are you ready? In this season, the Lord has set our hands over the seas. He has established our feet upon the mountains. I say in this season, the Lord has set our hands over the seas. He has established our feet upon the mountains. That means there's a new season of influence. Influence over people. Influence over multitudes. And command over systems. Command over industries. I don't know who I'm talking to. Command over industries. Command over spheres. Command over sectors. Command over cities. In the name of Jesus. Our hands are set over the seas.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.